What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here for Nagler's Never Right at PackersNews.com. Thursday afternoon recording this week, and was just kind of hoping, waiting maybe for an injury report before I jumped on here for you guys. But nevertheless, even without an injury report, we do have news in abundance to talk about. Where to start? I guess we'll begin with the Brian Hoyer stuff, because that's obviously been all a buzz on Twitter and social media for the last kind of 24, 30 hours or so. And Mike McCarthy spoke with the media earlier this afternoon and obviously was, asked about the NFL Network report saying that the Packers had reached out to Brian Hoyer. And McCarthy kind of pushed back on that, saying that, one, obviously he was not involved in any of the conversations about possibly bringing in a veteran quarterback, and two, that it wouldn't be surprising if the pro personnel department was doing due diligence and doing what essentially is their job. And I know a lot of the national media, especially people who have been kind of around the Kaepernick story, the Colin Kaepernick collusion story, throughout the offseason and through the season, have jumped on this narrative to kind of further their agenda in regards to Mike McCarthy, the Green Bay Packers, not bringing in a veteran quarterback, and McCarthy's angry response when asked about Colin Kaepernick about 3 weeks ago. Now, obviously, there's a lot to unpack here, and I won't rehash all of it, but I will say, whatever was going to be said at that press conference this afternoon, as sure as clockwork, everyone who had already kind of set their agendas, had set their narratives, took that, ran with it, twisted it to fit that agenda, fit that narrative, however they saw fit. And a lot of it, I have to say, exposed a glaring lack of understanding how NFL teams actually work. Undoubtedly, the Packers saw Brian Hoyer become available. They saw a quarterback who's run a West Coast system, obviously backed up Tom Brady for a long time at the beginning of his career, where he's now ended back up after they shipped Garoppolo over to San Francisco. And they most likely simply made a phone call that kind of went something like this. Here is a dramatic reenactment. Hey, I saw Brian was released from the 49ers today. Yeah, he was. We've already talked to the Patriots, though, and we're probably going to sign there. Oh, okay. Thanks a lot. That is most likely the extent of the conversation the Packers had. But being this, day of 24-hour news cycle and the need to drive traffic and have something to talk about on radio, this obviously has taken on a life of its own. Now, I understand the optics of it may not be the best for McCarthy because he was so adamant about the fact that he has invested 3 years in Brett Hundley and 2 years in Joe Callahan. But the pro personnel group's, job is to keep tabs on people when they become available and get their emergency lists in order. And, one personnel guy, we don't know who it was, obviously made a call, and that was it. And then Ian Rappaport for NFL Network put it out there, and the way he phrased it didn't help matters when he said the Packers tried to steal Hoyer. It doesn't sound like anything close to that happened. It sounds like it was due diligence. They thought, there's a guy who runs the West Coast offense. Let's check in on him just in case. And that was it. And that's the way that group has operated the entire time Ted Thompson has been in town. Don't forget, when Michael Vick became available, they made a call about Michael Vick. No intentions of ever signing him at that moment, but they made the call. They check in on everybody. We just happened to hear about this one. And of course, like I said, national narratives have been set up, and the narrative merchants will drive their ships and speed them to the shore of their most desire. So that's the Hoyer thing. And then, the other kind of reaction I got a lot of this afternoon on Twitter was, well, McCarthy doesn't know what the personnel team, they wouldn't talk to Mike McCarthy? No, they wouldn't. This is how it works. Mike McCarthy is not privy to every call the pro personnel group makes. Now, if they had any kind of legitimate interest in signing Hoyer or any other quarterback, yes, absolutely, McCarthy would be talked to. But when they're just doing due diligence, when they're just checking off a list, basically, no, McCarthy's not privy to that conversation. And let me remind people, Set your way back machine to the first week of free agency this past spring when TJ Lang was hemming and hawing between the Packers, Seahawks, and Lions. And then the Lions came in with the extra money, and then TJ signed with the Lions. And then he was on the radio, I believe it was Wilde and Tausch's show, and he said, you know, they asked if he'd heard from McCarthy, and, you know, TJ Lang said, no, you know, I think McCarthy's been on vacation. That's the first week of free agency. The head coach of the Green Bay Packers was on vacation. That tells you how involved he is in personnel. Now, obviously, you know, prior to free agency, I'm sure he and Ted talked, and, you know, he gave his, you know, 2 cents, but for the most part, he is, you know, he coaches up what Ted gives him. He has very little say in who comes in the door. So I just found it interesting and pretty, you know, predictable. A lot of the reactions around the Hoyer thing. And I just wanted to talk real briefly about that before turning our eyes toward Monday Night Showdown between the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. The Lions, obviously, a bit of a desperate team. Losers of 3 straight, including their game last week against the Steelers, which saw them move the ball quite easily between the 20s. But they had major issues in the red zone, and they have had major issues in the red zone all year, but especially Sunday night. I spoke with Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press for this week's opposite sideline feature at PackersNews.com. Make sure you check that out because he has a lot of great insight into what exactly is up with this Detroit Lions team. I do think the Packers match up well. A big question, obviously, is going to be the play of Brett Hundley and if they get anything more out of him. And I know a lot of people are asking, you know, what's the offense going to look like and what are they going to ask him to do and are they going to, quote, open it up? And I don't think we're going to see the high-flying Hundley anytime soon. I think we'll continue to see a game plan much like we saw against the Saints. I don't think it'll be a lot of spread stuff, maybe a few spread looks here and there. They're going to lean on the running game. They're going to lean on Aaron Jones. They're going to shorten the game to try and keep the ball out of Matt Stafford's hands. But that's going to be, I would think, how they go about it. Now, maybe they call a few more run-pass options. Maybe they call a few more bootlegs and or read option things for Hundley to get, you know, use his legs a little bit, get on the perimeter. But for the most part, I think it's going to be the Aaron Jones show. And it should be. You know, this is Hundley's second start. And for whatever reason, McCarthy has clearly determined that after 3 years in his system, this is not the guy you want running, you know, five wide, throw it, chuck it down the yard. And that's fine. If that's the determination and McCarthy thinks that gives him the best chance to win, obviously he's the head coach and that's his call. But then you've got to win. They have got to win a game. You know, talking about the Lions and having lost 3 in a row, I mean, the Packers, they're in need of a win in a big way. You know, we talking about the offensive attack for the Packers. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Packers match up with the Lions offense because the Lions haven't run the ball very well this year. They haven't been very effective, especially in short yardage situations. But it's not like Dom Capers' defense has been any great shakes against the run. I think they're in the bottom third of the league when it comes to, you know, run defense, which isn't great. You know, there's not a whole lot great going on the defensive side of the ball for Capers and company. If you haven't yet, I highly encourage you to read Tom Silverstein's piece at PackersNews.com about Dom Capers and about, you know, time ticking away here and run time is running out and excuses have been run out of for Dom and his crew. I mean, this is just a litany of rankings that Tom put together that I thought was pretty damning. When you consider the play you've gotten from Kenny Clark, Blake Martinez, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Mike Daniels, Kevin King, Josh Jones, Morgan Burnett prior to his injury, I think, you know, they've had some really good individual performances, but for whatever reason, the collective unit is not performing very well. And here's just an example. At this point in the season, the Packers defense is 25th in sacks per pass attempt. They're 30th in red zone touchdown percentage, 24th in third down success rate. They're tied for 32nd in the most 20-yard rushes allowed. They've allowed 9 runs of 20 yards or more. That's absurd. Tied for 26th in most rushing touchdowns allowed, 19th in opponent passer rating, 22nd in tackles for loss, tied for 28th in quarterback knockdowns, including sacks, and tied for 17th in interceptions. 28th in quarterback knockdowns. So that you're not getting to the quarterback. You're not disrupting him. You're not doing anything to get him off the spot. You know, and like I said earlier, I know people are down. Fans like to get down on Clay Matthews because of a lack of sacks, because of a lack of production, a lack of highlight plays. But he has played very well this season. You know, he and Nick Perry both, I think, have played pretty darn well, especially Perry, considering he had to deal with the injured hand for a good part of the year. But the production hasn't been there, and you've got to get it from other guys. Or you've got to free up other guys. You've got to get some pressure calls if you're Dom Capers to get to the quarterback, to disrupt that guy. And it is kind of weird how I do wonder if Mike Daniels is still dealing with whatever kept him, whether it's the hip, whether it's the hamstring, whatever was, you know, ailing him earlier in the year. I wonder if he is still feeling the effects of that. Because with Kenny Clark's play, he should be getting freed up and maybe not making plays, but he should be a lot more disruptive than he has been, considering he's getting more one-on-one opportunities. Now, he's not getting a ton. He's still getting double-teamed a lot. But when he does get those opportunities, he just hasn't made the most of them. And we've seen, you know, when he's right, yeah, he obviously is able to make those plays and be a difference maker. So, you know, coming into this game on Monday night, we've got two desperate teams. Two teams that really need it. Obviously, the Packers playing at home should help. But, you know, the Lions are a talented squad, and just seeing how they're going to match up with the Packers, I think they're going to spread it out. I think they're going to throw it a lot. They'll use the running game as kind of a change of pace, but I don't think they're going to lean on it very much. And I think, you know, you always got to watch for that arrow route out of the backfield. That's going to be, they'll probably kill the Packers on that two or three times, where you have the back looking like he's flaring out and then cutting back into the middle of the field. Seems every year they get the Packers with that, no matter who the offensive coordinator is. Right now, obviously, it's Jim Bob Cooter, who's done a really good job. And what he's done, what he's done a great job of is getting the ball out of Matt Stafford's hands and giving him safe, not easy, but, you know, high percentage throws that he doesn't have to try and push the ball downfield. Now, some of that obviously is the loss of Calvin Johnson a couple years ago, but more than that, it's, you know, just asking him to do intermediate to shallow throws, whether it's crossers, whether it's, you know, wide receiver screens, whether it's traditional screens. He just hasn't asked him to push the ball downfield a whole lot. Now, he'll take his shots, obviously, but for the most part, he's giving him real easy stuff. And it's been on the wide receivers to make things happen after they catch the football. And Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, they're able to do that. You know, Marvin Jones in particular, I'm going to be very interested to see how the Packers go about lining up. I would tend to think you'll see Devon House on Jones and you'll see Kevin King on Golden Tate. That's just my guess. But that'll be obviously when they're in man, they'll play some zone, they'll mix it up. We'll see. The one thing you got to look for coming out of this bye week, you know, going into wait all the way to Monday night, you got to wait all this time. It seems like they haven't played in forever. But they have got to get the communication issues fixed on the defensive side of the ball more than anything. I think that's the biggest damning, bullet point, so to speak, for Dom Capers and for the defense. The fact that, you know, you've had all offseason, you've had all of training camp, you're here now into week 9, and you're still having moments where you're playing with 10 guys on the field. I mean, that's absurd. And I know they got, you know, defenders hurt and guys are in and out and they're having to mix and match. But guess what? Everybody in the NFL has to deal with injuries. And yet I don't see the same communication issues on defense week in and week out. It's gotten pretty absurd. And it speaks to a lack of leadership on Dom Capers' part. I'm sorry. It's pretty simple. It's his side of the ball. He's got to get that fixed. So whether that's slimming down the playbook, whether that's simplifying the calls that come in, you know, whether it's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix needing to be, you know, relieved of his duties as far as the helmet with the communication radio in it, which sounds like that is going to happen. It sounds like Morgan Burnett will be back and he'll be retaking those duties over. But, yeah, that has got to get fixed more than anything else on defense. I think if they if and when they do that, you'll see a, you know, a better functioning unit on the defensive side of the ball. But right now, it is, up till now, it has been a bit of a fire drill over there. So yeah, that's the matchup that's the matchup Monday night. The Packers, obviously they need it, like I said, and we will see how they plan on attacking it after having all this time. McCarthy talking about the self-scouting, all the stuff they did across the hall is what he always likes to say, where the defensive staff talks to the offensive staff and vice versa. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, inward looking slash soul searching has gone on, and what exactly the offense does coming out of the bye week and how they utilize Brett Hundley's talent. Because I do think Brett Hundley is talented. I do think they can win with him, but it's on McCarthy to make that happen. And I think he, more than anything, was a big contributor to the loss against the Saints. He's got, as he would say, he's got to clean that up. So we'll see. It's going to be a good game. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com for all the latest. Until next week, I'll talk to you then on Nagler's Never Right.